I invite you to turn in your Bibles to our scriptures, John chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. If you're using the Bible provided by the church, it's found on page 1072. As you're turning there, I want to thank Brad Cunningham for being our guest organist today. Thank you for serving the Lord so well. John chapter 16. And you will notice as I read the text this morning that I'm starting in between, in the midst of a discourse. So there's a lot that you will not hear if you haven't read earlier. Don't read now, but when you get home, read the first part of chapter 16 and you will hear the whole discourse of what Jesus is saying. The other thing I want to say to you is think about all the voices we hear during the week. Voices that either try to encourage us to live out our faith, or voices that try to divide us, and voices that can encourage us, and voices that can discourage us. For the next few moments, I ask you to listen to only one voice, that the Lord speaks through His word. In a moment, I'm going to read from John. These are Jesus' words to His disciples. I want you to hear Him. I want you to listen to Him. In listening, I want you to believe what Jesus says. To prepare us for the reading of God's word, let's pray. Almighty God and loving Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to open your word and to read with our own eyes words of life. The Bible tells us that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit as they wrote scripture. So these words are your words. Open our eyes and let us see wonderful truth out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I invite you to follow along as I read John chapter 16, starting with verse 25. Found on page 1073, actually. I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I no longer will speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the word of God. Thanks be to you, O God. As we continue our study in the book of John, this is, of course, part of the final discourse that Jesus had with his disciples. This time, this speech began in John chapter 13. From John 13 to John 18 is what we call the farewell discourse. It all occurred in one evening. Jesus began John chapter 13 with these words. John records, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And as we read John 13, 14, 15, and now 16, this is a description of the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is telling them of the Father's love. He begins by telling them that he will not leave them as orphans, that he's going away, but he will not leave them alone. He's going to send another counselor, a helper for them. He tells them that this Holy Spirit will be with them and abide with them forever. He tells them that everything they need, the Holy Spirit would provide for them. They will not be abandoned. This is an incredible display of God's love. This section, though, is the last time that Jesus is talking, will talk to his disciples in this evening. Because as we look at chapter 17, that begins what we call the high priestly prayer. Jesus turns from talking to his disciples to talking directly to God. So this passage serves as a summary statement for everything that he said in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And we're going to learn that in this text, Jesus promises to make what is unclear clear. And then he tells us that we have the Father's love and the Father's presence. The reason that Jesus is saying this is that he was going to leave his disciples and they would live out their call before the Lord in seemingly, at times, isolation. But he wanted them to know that they were, just as he wasn't abandoned by the Father when they left, they wouldn't be abandoned by him. And so listen to this testimony. Look first at verse 25. Go back to verse 25. I said these things to you in figures of speech. And I'm going to stop there for a second. The word that's translated figures of speech can refer to proverbs, parables, maxims, similes, allegories, things that are not clear. And Jesus uses this term three times in the book of John. And he's saying here, there was an opportunity where there were times in this discourse where I spoke to you in ways that were not clear. And I'm going to point some of those out. But there's going to come a time where I will speak plainly to you about the Father. And so when did Jesus not speak clearly? I think some of the times that he didn't speak clearly, it's recorded in John 13, 33. In John 13, 33, Jesus said that he was going a place and they could not follow, they could not go. And so Peter asked this, he said, Lord, where are you going? It was very clear that they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. In John chapter 14, 3 and 4, Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And then Thomas said, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. So how can we know the way? He spoke in ways that were not clear. Jesus said again in John chapter 14, 16 and 17, this is one of my favorite ones, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. What was Jesus referring to? We know now because we have the whole testimony of Scripture. But he spoke in these terms. He didn't explain what the other helper was. He didn't talk about what did he mean with you and in you. That was not always clear. And then here's another one in John 14, 7. When Jesus was explaining his union with the Father, he said this. He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. It is enough for us. We haven't seen the Father. Show us the Father." They didn't understand that Jesus was saying, "When you see me, you see the Father." Jesus said to them, I've spoken to you in unclear manners, but there will come a time when I'll speak clearly to you. Well, what is that time? As early as the 4th and 5th centuries, we've believed that that time occurred at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he sent his Holy Spirit. And the reason we believe that is because of verses like John 14, 26, where Jesus said he will send another helper. Now, this is where it gets amazing. I want you to look in your Bibles again at John, at verse 25. Look at verse 25. It says, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly." Now listen to what Jesus said in the 13th verse of this same chapter, John 16, 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Listen, "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Here's what Jesus is saying. When I'm resurrected and I send the Holy Spirit, he will speak for me. I will speak through him. He will speak and he will tell you all things about the Father. He will make these things clear. History tells us that that's exactly what happened. Here's something that's fascinating to me. What Jesus did here was connect himself with the Holy Spirit. He's saying that as the Holy Spirit spoke, he was speaking the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are one. Earlier in John chapter 10, he said, "I and the Father are one." And so he's saying that the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together speaks truth about the Father. Now I want to pause here and try to encourage you with these words. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he was telling them this: they would not be abandoned, that the triune God will speak to them, and he will speak clearly. Now let me tell you this: you are not abandoned. The triune God still speaks. And the primary way in which he speaks is through his word. And one of the other ways that he speaks through his Spirit. His Spirit confirms the truth of his word. His Spirit convinces every Christian that the word of God is true and trustworthy. God's Spirit speaks conviction in every believer. When we know that we are violating God's word, his Spirit still speaks. God doesn't abandon us. Secondly, Jesus talks about the Father's love. The Father's love. Look at verse 27 with me. "For the Father himself loves you." Now I'm going to pause there for a second. That word himself is there for emphasis. What it's saying is that God the Father doesn't love you through Jesus. So in this sense, the God is not looking at Jesus, and because we are united with Christ, he's not saying, "Because I love Jesus, I'm loving you." That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is God himself loves you. He loves you. He has affection for you. There are four words Greek words for love in the New Testament. The first one is eros, and that is reserved for the marital relationship. The second word that's used is storge, and that is a familial relationship, how families are to love one another. When families operate in a biblical way, that natural love is beautiful. It is encouraging, and it encourages growth and stability. That's storge love. The third is philia, and that is a love that we usually translate friendship love, that love that brothers and sisters in Christ have. It is a friendship and a social love. And then that last is agape, and that is a love that we usually reserve for God and say that's that godly committed love. In the New Testament, philia and agape are used interchangeably, and it's beautiful. It's used here in that sense. In John chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus says, the Father loves the Son. And the love there is that philia. Now listen to what he's saying here. He's saying here that the Almighty God loves the Son in ways that would translate that he's a friend. He has an intimacy that's deep. There's a fondness that God really likes the Son. He really likes the Son. I mean, do you know people that you don't like? You laugh like that, you make me nervous. All right. Do you know other people you don't like? I know him. He's not saying that. When you like people, when you have a fondness for them, that's a deep, deep love. That's the love that God has for himself. It is reciprocal. God the Father loves the Son. God the Father loves the Spirit. The Spirit loves the Son. The Spirit loves the Father. It's reciprocal. It is beautiful. It's unending. It's a friendship that cannot be broken. Our verse in verse 27, it's the same word that the love that the Father has for the Son, he has for you. It's a the God of this universe loves you as a friend. He likes you. That should inform the way that we live. We drive down Washington Road and someone cuts us, well, we cut them off. And we look in our rearview mirror and they give us a universal sign. You know that sign, you're number one with me. When we realize that we are loved by God, that doesn't inform what we think about that person or ourselves. It's God's love that filters us, that informs us. That's what Jesus wanted his disciples to know. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and you believe in me. Now let me just say, that word because makes it sound like that our love for Jesus activates God's love. He loves because we love Jesus. And that's an unfortunate way that we understand because in this sense. There's a hermeneutical principle in Bible interpretation that says this: Scripture interprets Scripture. You take what's clear and you interpret what's unclear. So let me tell you what's clear. In 1 John, John tells us, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, John says this, quote, "We love because he first loved us." It is God's love that influences our love. So I know that here in John, it can't say that my love encourages God to love me. It can't say that. Because John clearly said, it is God's love. So how am I to understand because? I've added for myself a couple of words so that I can understand because. The Father himself loves us, and because of this, I can love Jesus. And because of this, I can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the love of God that empowers us to love. It is the love of God that gives us the opportunity to believe that Jesus Christ actually died for our sins. God himself loves you. And then let's think about the presence of God. Look at verses 32 and 33. Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone. I'm going to stop there. I am not alone. As we read on into the book of John, you will see, even in the next chapter, chapter 18, you'll see the disciples are going to leave Jesus. He's going to be alone. We read those stories about how Peter followed at a distance when Jesus was on trial. He was alone, but he said, I'm really not alone. Why? Because the Father had not abandoned him. Here's what I want you to do with this. I want you to realize that what Jesus was saying about the Father, he's also saying about the Father's relationship with us. We may feel we're alone at times. We've been abandoned, forsaken, but we haven't, because God will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to encourage you to memorize Hebrews 13:5, just part of that verse. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you. Jesus is talking to him. I will never leave you. That we are never abandoned by God. Jesus said these things to his disciples because verse 33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but I offer you peace. We live in a broken, fallen world that's trying its best to destroy each other and itself. It's really difficult to see what our society is doing to each other. And the Bible says that we live in this, but the peace comes from this. Christ has overcome. I want you to hear, he didn't say, I am overcoming. I will overcome. He said, I have overcome. I have a favorite football team. The only reason I'm not going to tell you who it is, somebody already texted me and asked me, and I'm not going to answer the question. But the only reason I'm not going to tell you who it is, because they're not a successful team. And I don't want you to think that your pastor votes for losers. Well, he does, but there was one game where they actually won. A Super Bowl. And that was a game that I recorded, not knowing that they were going to win, hoping that they were going to win. And when I had that tape and I would look at that tape, I'd look at the tape and I'd know that they won. But every time my team fumbled, instead of going, how can you do that? Come on! I wouldn't get upset. I go, well, that doesn't matter. Why? Because I knew they won. Every time there was an interception and that team go, yeah, we're going to get you. I go, ha, 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 you think you're going to win. Ha, losers. Because I know the end. It was great. Jesus tells us he has overcome. You know the end. Whatever you face, it may seem like a setback. You know the end. That's why he told us this. He has overcome. Live your life with this reality. You have, dear believer, the love of the Father. His presence will never leave you. He has overcome. Shall we pray? Almighty God and loving Father, we thank you for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his message to us. We are thankful for the love and presence of our Heavenly Father. As we prepare to celebrate this supper, remind us that your body was broken so that we can be whole. Remind us that your blood fully satisfies the wrath of God against us. And we are now beloved sons and daughters of God who can delight in this meal because we are lovingly invited to remain in God's love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.